Hey, listeners, I'm Erica.
And I'm Sean.
We are co-owners of Code One Barbecue in Wilmington, Massachusetts, and we're here at WCTV On Location, recording through Fire and Oak, a podcast about what it's like to run a small business, manage a family, and get through life every day.
I like that one.
Okay, so welcome to our very first episode of Through Fire and Oak. We're really excited to be here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for coming and listening. We know you have a lot of stuff going on, so it's great that you can do that. We want to thank WCTV for producing our show. We couldn't do it without them.
That's true.
So we've been in business now at the restaurant for 15 months.
15 months.
15 whole months. Can you believe it?
No, I cannot.
And a lot of questions that we get, well, besides the fact of how can you work with your spouse and your partner? That's a big one.
Opposite shifts, baby. Opposite shifts.
Yeah. That means we don't sleep in the same bed at the same time.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I figure why don't we get into like why we started this in the first place, where we come from, who we are, you know, what Code One is all about to us. Like, you know, go back to that time when we were, you know, sitting in the backyard during COVID and we were like, hey, this is a thing.
Yeah.
You know, so why don't you start, Sean?
Yeah, I think, you know, that whole time when COVID hit, you know, we were, I was still employed, but not employed, still running, you know, another person's company, but working from home, but, you know.
Technically on unemployment.
Yeah, technically on unemployment. And that's when I kind of figured, okay, this I need a change. And we started picking up barbecue again that we had stopped for a little while because, you know, time and, you know, kids and.
Yeah, life.
Yeah, right, life.
I had a business.
That's right.
You worked full time.
Yep.
I was taking care of the kids.
Yeah, plus I did a lot of extra hours as a manager. You know, just not having the time to be in the backyard and barbecue or even do the lawn at that point, right?
Yeah, I did the lawn. I do the lawn.
Right.
The lawn is my thing.
So, you know, we got some downtime. We started working on the house.
Oh, that's right. We built a third bedroom for Finn. That was fun.
Yeah. As I was doing online video conferencing. And
yeah.
I'd put the hammer down for like 15 minutes and then take a call or whatever it was. And as the weather got warmer during COVID, we started barbecuing again, right? And then we just started cooking more, being outside more. And then kind of got that, you know, got that first smoker.
I remember that because you were like, oh, I want to smoke. You know, we had a smoker a while ago, and we'll tell you about the chicken fiasco in that smoker a long time ago when we first started really smoking. But you said, I want to get this new smoker. You know, it's only so much at, you know, Home Depot. And I was like, no. We cannot get that smoker. I'm not clean. Like, I need a regular grill. I like to grill. I want to come home and throw hamburgers and hot dogs on and cook steaks. And I'm not cleaning that thing.
Yeah.
I was like, you're cleaning that thing if we get it.
Yep.
So.
And it was a pellet smoker, right? It was. They're nice and easy to work with.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to monitor them like a regular stick burner or even the smokers that we have now, right? You just load it and it kind of does its thing. And, you know, I always say they're not the greatest to learn on because you're not teaching yourself much as far as fire management. It does it itself.
Yeah. But they do make great food.
They make great food. They really do.
Yeah.
And, you know, if for someone that has a full-time job and is only doing a pork butt or a brisket or whatever they're doing, they can do it, you know, put it in, walk away, check it in 3 to 4 hours. I mean, if you love sleep and you love to do barbecue, whoo!
Who doesn't love sleep?
Right. The pellet grill is the way to, I mean, I tell people all the time, pellet smoker is the way to go. If you know,
you can watch it on your phone.
You can watch
like,
it on
from
your
bed.
Phone. You know, I mean, you can be sleeping while your food is cooking.
So, well, but how long does it take to cook a brisket? Why would you want to sleep? I mean, can't you just do that really quick?
Yeah. Why can't you do more briskets, right? our favorite question. Well, what do you mean you're running out of food? It was a great start, right? And then one pellet smoker became two pellet smokers.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we went from doing one brisket, a couple of pork butts, some chicken, to having the neighbors say, What's going on over there?
Yeah, why does it smell so good? What do you got? What are you guys doing?
And then, you know, our neighbor, we started giving food away, and then.
Well,
you were
smoking so much meat, it became such a thing, which I was surprised by, that, like, we couldn't eat it. Like, you were coming home with beef ribs.
I know.
Racks of beef ribs and briskets, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do with all this food?
I would go on the internet and be like, okay, what can I smoke next?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I would have smoked a T-Rex, but they weren't around.
Yeah.
You know, the butcher is like, what are you doing? You're just he's like, you're here every day. I'm like, I know I'm here every day. I've got so much time on my hands.
Yeah, so, time that you never had before.
Yeah, time that you never had before, right? And then, you know, I fell in love with it again, and it became, you know, our friends were like, oh, you should be selling this.
Oh, yeah.
And then I asked.
You started having people over for dinner. Like, and
you know me, I'm not the type of person like, hey, let's just go hang out. You know, it's.
Yes, I make all the plans.
You know, and they started coming over. We started feeding them. And then we really got it really serious. It's like, wait, I think we might be able to. I know it was you who said, Sean, do you think this might be something you want to do? I was like, yes, I have a name.
Yes, I literally was sitting there. I remember one day, and you were just like so obsessed, and you were like, I don't want to go back to the office. I don't want to sit in the office and work for somebody else. And I said, well, if you were going to have your own business, what would you name it? And you instantly came out with a name.
Yeah, because I'd been thinking about it.
You had. And that's when I knew you'd been thinking about it. And that's when we said, okay, well, then how do we do that thing? How do we make this plan to sell barbecue?
Yeah. And that led us on to, like, the next thing was calling, you know, Humphrey Smokers and getting a real commercial, you know, real smoke, real, you know, real wood.
Yep.
And then we got Bumblebee.
Bumblebee, yes. Yep. And that was a cubed beast?
A cubed beast.
Yep.
Held a lot of food.
Like, she did a lot for us.
When that thing came in, we were both like, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a lot. And then we started catering, right? We got a commercial kitchen in Woburn.
Well, we started buying, one of the things that we started doing first was we started getting Post Oak delivered to our house.
Yes.
And then we reached out to our friends and family, but mostly we ended up reaching out to our community and saying, you know,
we're going
to start this. Like, we had decided, okay, we're going to start this business. We opened the LLC. We had no customers. We had nothing going on. We just had, you know, people that loved us telling us our food was amazing and we should sell it. And we're like, hey, let's do that. And then, you know, we reached out to the community on the Facebook community board, Wilmington community, and we said, hey, we're starting a barbecue business and we're going to be catering and doing pre-orders. Does anybody want barbecue?
Well, remember when we went down and we said, hey, could we do this out of our house?
Oh, right, yeah.
And they were like,
No,
where do you live? I'm like, I got to go.
We aren't going to tell you that.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that the entire neighborhood, like, and police driving around could smell it. They would, like, drive around looking for the smoke.
I know. So we started giving away food for free.
We did, mostly with, like, you know, people that we knew and our neighbors.
So,
and then,
just to get, you know.
And for, like, what do you call it, like, donations.
Yeah, yeah. No, that never happened. Wink,
yeah.
Wink.
We didn't ask for anything in return.
So then, you know, as we got more popular, more people was asking, we then had to say, okay, we got to find a way we can do this where we, you know.
Legitimately.
It's legal.
Like, yeah.
I didn't need the police department showing up with 15 briskets in the backyard and be like, I'm
confiscating all these briskets. Sorry, guys.
Having a party. No one's here.
And so the reason why we couldn't do this out of our own house is because in certain cities and states and towns, everybody has their own rules and the health department and everything. But for the most part, you can't cook and provide food out of your home if it's not a shelf-stable item. That means, like, you can bake goods, you can do cakes, and you can do candies, and you can do all of that stuff because it can go on the shelf. But anything that has time, temperature, control elements to it where you have to take it from cold to hot and keep it hot and then bring it back to cold again and serve it that way is they're unable to, you know, check that. So most health departments do not let you do that out of your home.
And for good reason.
Yes.
Like, you know, you open up, you start doing catering on a professional level, you realize that there's no way to really
do it out of your house.
There's no way you can do it out of your house, right?
No.
There's just no way. And, you know, you always hear about how health departments are scary. And this health department in Wilmington couldn't have been easier to work with.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have to work with any other cities or towns, but yeah.
No.
We,
but, I mean, moving our...
We didn't struggle with any of it.
No. No. And going into the commercial kitchen at first in Woburn, even that health department was like, yeah, we know that kitchen. You know, these are the things you have to look for. These are things I'm going to be looking for. Here's your permit. Go ahead, right. Go ahead and start going. And it was like 2 days later, we're like, oh,
and then
boy.
We had to call somebody up to help us move the smoker from our yard.
Lawrence Mitza, thank God. Thank God for Lawrence Mitza.
Lawrence Mitza does everything.
Does everything.
So we had him move the smoker to the loading dock at the commercial kitchen. And, you know.
Big shout out to Lawrence Mitza.
That first weekend when we moved in, we had already booked catering for that weekend for a few people.
A few.
They were small parties compared to the things we do now.
Yeah, but starting off doing 50 people was like, how?
Yeah, we went from 10 to 50 immediately.
Yeah, no, we went to like 3 to 50. Like you, you jumped over a bunch of cows to get us. We went from going from 3 to a brisket and maybe a half a pork butt and one rack of ribs. I'm like, okay, here's 16 briskets and some pork butt, and I think they're going to add on 15 racks of ribs.
And we have to do chicken as well.
Yeah, and they want it by 10 a.m. the next morning. I'm like, well, you know, it's 4 o'clock the prior day. Like,
so we're sitting in the kitchen after we got through that first official smoke in the kitchen.
And we couldn't even walk.
Yeah. And I remember you were, like, trimming the brisket. And when you're in a commercial kitchen, a commissary, you're with other business owners that are running their own businesses and cooking their own things. And everybody's running around the kitchen like, this smells amazing. That looks awesome. And Sean was like, this is the worst brisket I've ever made in all my life. I'm not serving this. And I'm like, okay, go home, go to bed. You need some sleep.
Everyone's going to throw up.
Yeah. And it ended up being great.
Yeah. I think one of the, the first parties that we did was Drains by James, right?
That was one of the first parties it wasn't one of the first parties, but they were one of our first customers. We ended up, doing their holiday party over Christmas. And that was a good experiment for us because we'd done birthday parties and some, some other like Oktoberfest type things.
Yeah, but it was real small stuff. It was like 5-6 people.
20 people.
And before we got Bumblebee, we had... I'm not going to mention the name.
No,
but
we're talking about after Bumblebee. Like when we had Bumblebee and we were in Woburn. You don't even remember. You were so out of it that first weekend. We actually did a first birthday party.
Yeah, I don't remember.
For 25 people.
That was such, the first 2 weeks was such an out-of-body experience for me. Like I had no idea.
We woke up like after that weekend and it was like a Monday morning lying in bed and we had to get the kids off to school and we were just like, okay, I can't even move.
I might go back. I might go back to work. Like, this is crazy. But those four became doing 10 a week. 10 became 20.
Yeah.
Then 20 became like, okay, we're not going to do 20, but we're going to start ramping up how much food we're doing. Right?
Well, and then market season rolled around and we started joining all the markets.
Yeah, and then one market led to two markets led to 3 markets a day. Okay, we got a 4 p.m. one and then one tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Right.
And then later on, one, you're going to be serving whatever's left to this market because we can't make any food. And then
we were doing pre-orders in
pre-orders,
between.
Yep.
Yeah. So a lot of people would pick up on Fridays and Saturdays. They would get dinner and they would order ahead in the week and, they would come and get dinner. And we did it all out of that cubed beast. We were
like,
this is amazing. We could cook everything out of here. We could cook so much food out of this, huge machine.
Before the Humphreys, though, we had that pellet commercial smoker that didn't last long. Remember?
That's right. I forgot about
it.
Why didn't that last long?
Remember this? I suddenly caught the thing on fire. However, unpronounced to me, grease and oil don't work. Yeah. Let's just put it that way.
You should take a fire management course before you learn how to put out a grease fire.
No, it was short panic. There was 15 people next to me, and a fire started. I was like, okay, what takes out fire?
Oh, water.
Yeah. No, not with grease, you moron. Not with grease. It wasn't my
I wasn't actually
moment.
There for this moment, guys, just so we all know. But you did end up getting the fire extinguisher using it.
Oh yeah. It took me 2.5 seconds to realize that, oh, I just put water on a grease fire.
Mm-hmm.
I emptied out the fire extinguisher and then shut the, and we had just finished cooking.
That's right. We had a big party that we were cooking.
Because you were there.
Oh.
Because the only thing, because you came.
Because I had left to go get.
Yes, food. You came around the corner.
I delivered food, yeah.
We took the last like brisket
That's
out.
That's right.
And I'm like, something's not smelling right. Like, what is it? I just turned this down. And I opened up the door. Remember?
Yeah.
It was like Backdraft, the movie.
Yeah.
Bang! I was like, do I have eyebrows?
I don't even know if you did.
And you remember Robin from the pull-up? He's like, ooh, that's a fire.
Yeah.
Shout out to Robin in the pull-up. Thank God. He's like, get a fire.
Oh, get the fire extinguisher.
Get the fire extinguisher, you nut. I'm like, oh, yeah, the fire extinguisher, not water.
Yeah. Well, the good thing was, is though, you could close the door and the fire wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't
it was self-contained. Remember, yeah. I said, all right.
We weren't burning the place down.
No. And, you know, we opened up the door. I had you open up the door.
And you sprayed.
And you sprayed. It was a fire that lasted about 30 seconds. But
it felt like 3 hours in the moment.
It lasted like five and a half days. Like,
the world was over.
I was like Fire Marshal Bob. I mean, there was fire. I was like, oh, my God, I just burnt down the commercial kitchen, all these people in it.
That's what insurance is for.
Yeah. No.
And then but then that's when we decided to get the cubed beast.
Yeah, well, we had ordered it.
Oh, we were waiting for it already.
We were waiting for it, but we needed a short-term larger smoker. And then that's when we found Humphrey's out of Maine.
Yeah. You know,
great company.
Yep, Humphrey's Barbecue. Everything's American made by hand.
Craftsmanship is in.
And they do have their standard smokers that they make, but if you wanted to like get something custom made, that's what happened with us.
Yep, we love them. We work with them quite a bit. You know, they've been a huge part of our business. Thank God.
So we got the cubed beast, and we had it. You know what? Chrome plated or something yellow. I don't know how that process
painted,
works.
It was painted yellow and black.
Yellow and black. And we named it
Bumblebee.
And then we hit the market scene.
Hit the market scene.
We started, you know, putting ourselves out there. And we were very limited on our menu back then.
Yes. If you look at our menu back then, it was like brisket, pork.
Pork ribs. Mac and cheese.
Potato salad.
Yeah.
And then we got crazy. I think we did beans.
Oh, yeah, baked beans. That was always on the menu.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what we took to the markets. Some of the markets wouldn't allow us to bring hot foods.
You said it was always cold.
It was always cold. And then we got to, I forget what market, it was Tewksbury, where we did our first hot food. Remember?
Yep.
It was the Tewksbury market.
We did the Tewksbury market, and we did the Billerica market that year.
Yes.
And we could do hot food at the Billerica market, too.
Yeah.
And they were both really busy markets.
Really,
and that's where we started really getting our following.
Well, people started calling us for like on a random Tuesday.
Yeah.
I would be at work and you'd be like, hey.
Because by the way, he still worked his full-time job while I forced him to do all this catering.
Yeah.
No, I didn't force.
So we just got out of COVID, right? We got into the commercial kitchen. COVID was over. At least the mask portion of COVID was over, right? I was back to work.
Yeah.
I was bringing food to work, every other day, all the extra stuff, and you know, guys from work like Scott and Ken.
And I was still running a web design business, and
this food is terrific.
Taking care of the kids at home, and
you know, feeding the shop,
yeah.
And then
because he still wanted to make all kinds of smoked meat, I'm like, I can't eat all of this. I may be a carnivore, but I can't eat all this meat.
And then, you know, we finally just said, well, you know, we met our business partner.
So that's a funny story because Sean and I, once we started doing catering and hit the market and we were in the commercial kitchen, we knew we wanted our own space. And we didn't know if that was going to be a food truck or an actual restaurant space. And the idea is, like, we started this on our own in our backyard. Like, the idea is, like, how are – you know, the two of us, we have a mortgage, we have kids at home, we have to feed them, and, you know, we have bills we have to pay, we have life we have to live. How are we going to open a restaurant or get a food truck with, you know, with just our bare hands, just like off the, you know, off our own backs?
Yep.
And, you know, the idea came, well, you know, maybe we'll be able to find investors. Let's you know, think about that and see what we would want. And we were actually at the Wilmington Market.
Yep.
And I specifically remember, and she's going to laugh about this when she hears it, this, you know, nice woman coming up and, you know, asking us all about what we do and why, you know, and this and that. And, you know, do you ever think about opening a restaurant space?
Well, she had been following us on Facebook.
But we didn't know this at the time.
No.
We had no idea. She was just with her group of friends. She just walked over. She, you know, she just started asking us questions. And I said, yeah, we would love to open a restaurant, you know, but we're just a husband and wife team and we don't have the kind of backing we need right now. You know, I said that's in the 3 to 5 year plan. You know, we had our goals like in 3 to 5 years, we're going to, you know, just keep working and keep working.
Yep.
And then specifically, I remember 2 weeks later, one of the things that you always hated was when I would walk away at the market because you said, as soon as you leave, everybody comes over to order food from me.
Yeah, you leave and then 917 people want something that I know.
Like, and you start panicking.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what's the price if I was to get you, you know, could you guys do like 80 people and how much that would be? I'm like, I just cook the food.
Yeah. By the way, hold on, my wife's coming.
Yeah, you got to talk to my wife. She has all that information.
So I walked off to go do something and of course, I come back and there's this, you know, nice woman talking to you. And then I'm like, hey, why is this woman talking to my husband for? What is she doing? And it turns out that she was, you know, she'd been following us for a while. Her name's Susan. And she wanted to, you know if we were interested in, you know, partnering up and she would help us open a restaurant and we would, you know, get another investor and work together. And we were like, heck yeah, let's talk about it. And that's what we did.
Fast forward.
15 months later?
Fast forward 3 months.
Well, yeah.
You know, we had already found a place, you know.
Yep.
5 minutes away from our home in Wilmington Crossing. We were lucky enough that someone else was leaving the space, going into a, you know, they were growing into another space locally.
Yep, and we thought, like, this is great. We're going to take over. We're going to get this, you know, small kitchen to ourselves.
Yeah, it's going to be such a big place. We look at the size of this kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have 5 or 6 seats. This place is going to be amazing. 2 months later.
Yeah, we're already growing out of it.
We need another 30 to 40 tables. We need a kitchen 3 times the size. It went from, you know, doors opening, people at the door waiting for our food to, you know, where we are now, 15 months later.
So one of the things, though, that we did notice that folks struggled with was our sellout concept.
Right.
So, like, that was – and even when we first started talking about it and we were like, oh, what are our hours going to be? And you said we're going to be open, you know, 11:30 to sold out. And I'm like, how are we going to do that? How are we going to tell people when they can come and when they can't come and, you know?
Yeah, and it took us a long time.
So, but why do we do that? Why do we sell? Why do we do till the sellout?
If you really think about it, we can only make X amount of food. Any smoker, any barbecue restaurant can only make X amount of food, right? They may have 5 smokers and may be able to put more food on than we could, especially, you know, right now. But even at 5 smokers, they can only do X amount of food. That can either take you, some days it takes 4 hours for the food to go. Some days you have leftovers and you're making other stuff with it, right?
Yeah, throwing it in the baked beans, making chili.
And for us, we moved in to our spot and we still had Bumblebee.
Yes, which we thought was a great, amazing, huge smoker and could feed all kinds of people.
We're going to feed people for like 5 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Our opening day, we lasted
an hour and a half.
We sold out of everything an hour and a half. There was a line at the door.
And it actually went on for a whole month that people started getting mad at us.
Like, where is all your food?
Why don't you have brisket left? You've only been open for 2 hours.
It's gone.
So but during that whole time, Humphreys was building us our custom build.
And put poor Nicole in chat. Like, every other week, I was like, any chances I'm going to get here?
When's that going to be done, man?
And then they had, because of COVID and that it had just been ending, they couldn't get the steel.
There was a lot of production struggles.
Even to this day, there's still production issues with a lot of different people.
Yeah.
But, man, they worked their tails off to get us that smoker.
Right.
Their tails. And they were so gracious about it.
Yep.
Thank God. And Nicole is a sweetheart. She took every email, every phone call.
Yep. You know, so one of the things that I want to acknowledge, and I've said this to you before, is that, you know, we may have started this, you know, in our own backyard, smoking meat and doing it all ourselves, but we didn't do any of this alone.
No. And our business partners and...
The business partners, absolutely. But actually, I want to acknowledge our son.
Oh,
we've got three children at home. One of them is going to be 18 soon. And since we've started this, he's been the backbone of supporting us at
home. Big time.
Because no entrepreneur with a family at home does anything without that kind of help.
Big time.
And, you know, we're so grateful that he's such a great kid and he doesn't complain and he loves his siblings and his siblings love him. And, you know, we can go to work and he'll make sure they're fed and, you know, bathed and getting stuff done. And then, you know, we couldn't do that without him.
No, not at all.
You know?
Not at all.
We couldn't do it without anybody, but we couldn't do it without him there supporting
us. Yeah, supporting us.
You know, especially after he's been in school all day.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he has his own stuff and his own friends and his own life.
Yep.
And, you know, we're lucky.
Very lucky.
Group of parents for that.
Very lucky. Well, we've got, all three of our kids are good.
Yeah.
You know, he's not babysitting the devils.
Well, and when he goes off to college, Madeline's going to have to take over his role.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether she likes it or not.
Yeah. I don't know which one of us is going to tell him when he has to come back every night to babysit.
Sorry, you can't go very far.
But yes,
and then
I think
again,
that's a great point.
We would have never opened this restaurant without our investors. I mean, the amount of time, effort, and money that goes into it is something that we couldn't have fathomed back when we first started this.
And you know, we thought, hey, well, you know, we need X.
Oh yeah, we need X amount of money. No, we needed way more.
No,
I mean, we did it with what we had.
Yeah,
you know,
but
sure.
the support that they've given, not even just financially, like just the support, like, hey, you guys have a family you still need to run, you know, don't wear yourselves out, you know, we're here to help, you know, and
it's a lot of things.
And it's been hard for us to let go of some of these stuff because, you know, we were the ones that started this.
Yes.
And, you know, they're saying, you know, we're here to help, give us some stuff to do to help the business.
There was a very long process of
me
thinking I had to do everything and trying to do everything and completely failing at all that.
Oh yeah, and you know, we've made mistakes on the road, business mistakes along the way, you know, that they've helped us overcome and still overcoming.
Right.
But the product itself, I think, you know, that we've created prior to the partnership is what really is.
Is what speaks.
Is what speaks for itself, and you know, like you were saying, it's you know. People not understanding the sellout, but you know, you go to any barbecue spot anywhere in the country, right? And they're open set out. You know, we have set hours on the internet because the internet needs that. They need to see a closing.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah, Google has to have a closing time,
right? And then we're very good about saying, listen, you know, at a certain type, a time.
We're not going to have any brisket left. We're not going to have any ribs left. We might have some chicken. Lately,
you know,
not really.
We've been better about cooking more food because we're seeing more people. Because the last thing you want is to cook 30 briskets a day and only sell 15. There is
and
only
what do you do with all that meat? Because you really can't hold it over.
I mean,
there's only so much baked beans and chili we can throw it into.
And you shouldn't, right? And I think that's what happens in some barbecue places where, you know, unfortunately they don't last long is because
they're holding.
You know, they own other restaurants where they can hold food for longer and they think, okay, I'll make 20 briskets and then either freeze them or do what you want with them.
Exactly.
You know,
I mean, and it takes 12 hours, you know, to cook a brisket.
It does.
You know, where people always ask us, you know, what time do you start cooking the brisket for today? And I say, oh, my husband came in yesterday to start cooking the brisket for today. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
You know,
and then people
started,
people started coming in more and more and realizing, oh, my God, this is actually real barbecue done the real way.
You know, we're not playing. We're not playing games. We're here to do the right thing the right way.
Yeah. Make food that doesn't make you sick.
Well, one of the reasons why we actually started really smoking our own food at home was because we loved barbecue. We loved running around. You know, even when we first met back in the day, we wanted to, you know, go out to eat to barbecue all the time. And yep. I have a lot of allergies. And I'd walk in and say, well, I can't have soy and I can't have apple and I can't have this. And they'd be like, well, I'll give you water.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's some water. Or
yeah.
Here's some gluten-free vodka.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was it. So we started doing it at home, and that's what we brought into the restaurant. You know, really simple recipes that are allergen friendly, that are made with all natural ingredients. Everything's made from scratch. You know, the meat doesn't have any of those fillers or additives or injections or MSG or any of that stuff in it.
That's right.
So, you know, I knew that I could eat it every single day, and I don't feel terrible. That means other people could eat it all the time and not feel terrible.
Yes. And obviously, you know, we've had enough people tell us how great the food is. We also have had, you know, a few people saying, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? And we can't
please
everybody.
Everybody's going to love our food. You know, not everybody's going to be happy. You know, we can't please everyone.
Can't please everybody. But I have to say, we've pleased most.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of regulars. Our restaurant is kind of like Cheers from the show. We treat everybody like a family member.
Like, we want you to feel like you're coming home when you come in, like you're coming to our own kitchen table and having dinner with us or, you know, taking your dinner home from our house. Like,
we see the same people multiple times a day.
You're a name, not a number. Yeah, we do. We've had people leave and come back. We have the same people every week. And we appreciate that support from our customers like you wouldn't believe it, because we wouldn't be here without them.
Yeah, and shout out to all my military friends out there who come to the restaurant, you know, who came to the restaurant for the first time knowing that we were veteran-owned, didn't know anything about us, nothing. Came in just because
to support a veteran-owned
company. Mm-hmm. And that has turned into a lot of different friendships, a lot of people coming in. I mean, you know, Jim Mason and his airborne group.
Yep.
Coming in. Not airborne,
He said that wrong.
Yeah, I did say that.
You don't have to name everybody.
Yeah. You know, coming in with a whole group of people, you know, loving the food, loving us loving them back.
Yeah.
You know, handshakes and hugs, I always say to everybody.
We've had some really great customers. They've come in, they've given us gifts. They've done a lot of awesome things.
The community support here has been, you know, and that's why we stayed in Wilmington, because we live in Wilmington. We wanted to stay in Wilmington. We wanted to help bring some business into the community and change the way people look at restaurants.
Yes.
You know, that was important to us.
We're disruptors.
You know, we wanted to say, hey, we're not your average, you know, whatever, you know, that you seeing around town. We want it to be different.
We're not just a takeout place.
Yeah, even though that we do mostly takeout.
Well.
Until we get a bigger spot.
Yeah, someday.
Hint, hint.
Yeah.
Bigger spot.
Hey, universe. We would like a bigger spot, please. So I definitely want to say thank you to our team, too, because one of the things that really makes a difference is having a team who supports your vision and shows up for you no matter what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, and again, you know, they have made sure that the restaurant is...
And they promote us, they love us, they're everywhere, they're talking about the story, they just... And there's just so many people who say, like, sometimes, like, Sean and I, like, are in the back, like, I'm not crying, you're crying. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's so many things that we've heard about how we've touched people and changed their lives. And like,
and it's not just us. I mean,
yeah,
you know, our whole team.
Yes.
Has the exact same demeanor that we do. And they understand what you and I are trying to put forward as far as the restaurant goes. Like, you know, it's not just, hey, OK, number 51. Here you go.
Right.
Maybe we'll see you tomorrow. You know, thanks for coming. We'll see you later.
Right.
We're leaving. We're saying, hey, my God, how's the kids?
Yeah. How's your wife?
How's your wife?
What's going on? You know, how's the job going? Yeah.
And you got chicken tonight? Well, why chicken?
Yeah.
Why'd you get chicken?
Yeah. Usually
you
get
pork. Don't you know the brisket costs more?
Yeah.
You know, and we, from the very beginning of us starting to the last Saturday, it's such a community of people that, I mean, obviously we're seeing more people as we are going. We're seeing more and more faces as our name gets out there. But we still see that one, that same group of people.
Yeah, we have our regulars who love us. The
first day that it opened.
Yep.
Right? And we even have that one customer, I'm not going to name names, who came in, hated the place, didn't like us.
Yes.
Came back a week later, and then, you know.
Yeah, you went over and you shook his hand and introduced yourself, and that's kind of what we do. Like, hey, man, you know, because one of the things you have to realize is that everybody's having, you know, their lives, and everybody's going through what they're going through,
and it's
some
not,
people are having bad days, and it's not personal, and it's not us, and it's
yeah,
and sometimes just a little chat and a conversation and a handshake.
And
makes
sometimes
all the
they
difference.
Just want brisket at 5 o'clock in the night.
Yeah,
you know, and sometimes I can't do that, but like I say to everybody, barbecue should sell out. If you're going to a place and it's 9 p.m. and you're getting brisket,
yeah, and they still have like, yeah.
And there's no pit master in
the
building?
I mean, unless there's pit master working around the clock.
Again, and some of the bigger names do have pit masters that work,
right.
20, you know, 24 hours a day.
And they're just constantly pumping out brisket
right.
as much as they can. And,
unfortunately,
you know, we can't do that.
We can't do that. We're in such a small shop.
Well, and not just that. We only have one pit master. I mean, he's in the room with me right now, so he's not making brisket. Sorry.
Right.
But we are looking for an assistant pit master if anybody's interested.
Hint, hint. Call the store. We open tomorrow. 11:30 a.m. Come on in.
Right. No, we're not open tomorrow.
No. Oh, man.
No, we don't know when we're open. Don't
yeah,
listen
yeah,
to that.
Don't listen to that. No time stamping.
So we are going to start wrapping this up, Sean, because,
okay.
you know, I feel like we touched upon a lot of the things we wanted to talk about to, you know, introduce ourselves and who we are, where we came from, you know,
yep.
you're being an Air Force veteran, you know, me and my food allergies
yep.
and, you know, us just having this vision of building something greater than ourselves, like beyond what we were already doing, you know, and not just having like that day-to-day grind that was, you know, making us unhappy. And, you know, we've had our ups and downs, but we've been 15 months in the restaurant and it's been crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the... Every episode of The Muppet Show, Kermit's running around trying to get everyone on stage. That's you.
Yeah. And
I'm Gonzo, you know, and everybody else throwing fish around the place.
Yeah.
Animal banging on drums.
Yes.
Like, what's he doing? What is going on back
yeah.
there? And then me running out in the front being like, okay, what can I help with? And everyone's saying,
no, go back to the kitchen.
Go back to the kitchen, please.
Just please go take care of the meat.
Pick up an aisle 9.
Yes. So it's been a great run.
Yes. And as we go, we're going to, you know, introduce some different things and talk about, you know, some stuff away from the, you know, from the restaurant, things that, you know, we have challenges with and hopefully get some guests on.
We're going to get some guests on,
yep.
you know, to talk about some stuff.
Yep.
And
we're trying to get Tony Stark. What's the actor's name?
Oh, my God. You just made me draw a blank.
Yeah, me
I
too.
I can't believe we're going to draw. We're totally drawing a blank.
Who plays Tony Stark?
Robert
Downey Jr.
Yeah, we're totally going to ask
that him
if he comes
part.
In.
No.
All right.
So,
well, that's episode one.
Thank you so much for listening. We're so happy you're here. We love chatting with you, and we can't wait to see you in the next episode.
Episode two, what the hell just happened? Thank you, everybody. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Okay, Erica, we're going to wrap this up.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. This was Through Fire and Oak. We're going to see you guys in the next episode.